Now, last night in the Ladbrokes Challenge Cup, Wakefield Trinity Wildcats knocked out Halifax, beating them 44-16 in what was a much-needed win for the Wildcats. We are joined on the phone now by the chairman of the Wakefield Trinity Wildcats. Good morning, Michael Carter.
Good morning, Phil.
How are you today? Happy, I should imagine.
Yeah, pretty happy. You know, for once, I had a decent night's sleep last night. You know, I thought last night we were pretty much on a hide into nothing. Everybody, well, not everybody, but a lot of people expected us to lose the game, and we came through in the end quite convincing winners. So, very pleased. You know, I want to say a big thank you to Halifax. They were very generous last night in defeat, and you know what, I thought Halifax themselves played really well last night. They play an attacking, you know, brand of rugby league, and it's good to watch. And you know, they were no easy meet last night. They played very well, and we had to be on our game to eventually win the game.
Yeah, I was going to say they put a real good fight up, particularly in the first half. Looking at how it went, they really did give a good show of themselves, didn't they?
Absolutely. You know, they're aiming to get in that top four of that championship this season, and they've got some really good players with a lot of Super League experience as well. And Scott Morrell gets them round the park very well. He played excellent last night. And you know what? It was a tough game. All our lads came off saying that's been a real tough game. And, you know, to win eventually was very pleasing.
Yeah, I was going to say that the most important thing about the game last night for the club, of course, was the win. It's a much-needed one, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, obviously, confidence levels are low when you've lost eight games on the trot and, you know, you've gone to Warrington and had 80 put past you. It's never easy to pick yourselves up. And you could sense a little bit in the first half, I thought, that we were just, again, trying to push things a little bit too far. But eventually we settled down, scored some really good tries. Pleased to see Ian Kirk on the scoreline, you know, his first game for the club last night. And we're eventually now getting some middle players back. You know, Kirk and Malloy came back last night. We've got Chris Anakin on the way back. Obviously, we've just signed Ben Kavanagh on a season-long loan as well. So there's some depth in the middle coming back now. And I think, you know, the long-term injuries, Scott Anderson and Lapini Paya, hopefully they're only now 3 to 4 weeks as well. So we're starting to get some bodies back. And I thought we showed in the first couple of rounds of the season that if we've got a full complement of players, we can actually play. You know, there's no denying that we can play. And it'd be nice to get back to that.
It certainly would. Yeah, you touched on it there. You've brought in Ben Kavanagh from Widnes for the season. Are you looking at any other loan players or not with the injuries that you've got?
No, I think that's about it now, Phil, because the way the salary cap works is you can either spend up to $1.825 million, I think, and there's a few dispensations around that, or you can spend 50% of your budgeted revenue. And we are now at that cap of 50% of our budgeted revenue. So with Ben coming in, we've very little room now to manoeuvre on loan players unless we get a significant upsurge in our revenue. And the only way that can come about, really, is by getting bigger crowds down to Bellevue.
Yeah, now, interestingly, we've had a question on Twitter from North Standers on there saying the crowd last night, just over 2,000. Were you disappointed with that?
Not particularly, no. I think, you know, Challenge Cup over the last sort of 5 or 6 years has shown that, you know, crowds, particularly in the early rounds, are significantly down on what you do expect for, a normal Super League game. So, you know, there was nobody other than junior season ticket holders that they got in for free. Everybody else was paying. So it was a fairly good cash gate for us. I thought Halifax travelled in really good numbers last night. And I've got to say, they were really loud as well. You know, there was a very good positive influence from the Halifax guys that came across, and I'd like to thank them for that. You know, the gate, there's a big calculation that goes around in terms of the revenue from the gate, and we end up sharing the gate with Halifax. But it was all a positive for me. You know, a win, a decent-sized crowd, you know, some good money through the gates, that was always a bonus for us. And hopefully, you know, we get a decent draw in the next round.
Well, that was the other question from North Standers on Twitter. Who would you like in the next round? Who do you want out of that hat on Monday night?
Oh, I think there's a number, really. You know, you can look at it two ways for me. Do you want to progress further in the Cup? Now, if we do, and with the greatest respect to some of the teams that are still in there, there's a few draws today, and I'm going to mention a couple, and I say it's with the greatest respect. You know, you look at Lee Miners versus York City Knights.
Right, now just be careful there, Mick. Bear in mind.
I know they're a club very close to your heart, Phil. But, you know, if you got the winner of that at home, you'd fancy your chances of progressing. You know, I don't think there's any disrespect in saying that. You know, there's a number of other ties. You know, the winner of Crusaders and Featherstone, if you could get Featherstone in the next round, you know, another local derby, that'd be good. So I think there's a number of ties that you'd look for progression. If you were going to go for the money, which, you know, I've got my accountant's head on here, you know, a Leeds away, a Hull FC away, a Hull KR away, you know, I think they'd all attract fairly decent crowds, and obviously you get the money with that as well. So, you know what, I'm actually sat back here now thinking, don't particularly care who I get in the next round. I think that all the pressure was on us last night. Halifax came with, you know, nothing to lose, and they gave it a real good dig. And a lot of people expected us to get turned over last night. And I think we got through the round and we can just sit back now and relax. And whoever we draw, we just get on with it.
Definitely. Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. You can't influence it, can you? But I don't know.
I think the days of warm balls and cold balls in the back have gone.
I think a cup run would be nice, though, particularly for the supporters, wouldn't it?
Well, it would. I think, you know, obviously in my time in charge, that's the first Challenge Cup tie we've won. So that was pleasing. And I think in all my involvement with Wakefield Trinity Wildcats, the only tie we'd won up to that was the home tie against Hemel Stags, you know, 3 or 4 years back now. So it is nice to win in the Cup. And, you know, I think Cass showed last year that if you get on a bit of a roll, there's nothing, you know, with a little bit of luck as well, there's nothing to stop you going all the way. And you can see what influence that's had on Cass as a club and as a town, that things have really picked up over there. So, you know, if you, as daft as it sounds, if you can make a semi-final, it can really give you some momentum.
Yeah, it can make quite a difference. Now, I know some of the supporters have called for James Webster's head, your head coach. Personally, I look at it and you think he can only field what he's got, and that there's been an awful lot of players out injured. Is that something that's ever actually crossed your mind, though? Is it something you've thought about?
Never. Absolutely not. I can, you know, rest assured with me, Phil, I've never thought for a second about doing that. You know, I've only been in this game 18 months. You know, I've not sacked a coach yet, and I don't intend to start now. I firmly believe in James and what he's trying to do. You know, he's had an horrendous 2 months, like the rest of us have. And, you know, I do share the supporters' frustration, you know. But if you actually got to see everything that was going on behind the scenes, where you're taking the training field and, you know, you're drafting in 15- and 16-year-old scholarship kids just to fill up an opposition when you're trying to do training drills and stuff, you know, that's how difficult it's been for James. And I firmly believe in him. I think he's a very bright young man. You know, he's got some great ideas on the game of rugby league, and I just think, you know, you've got to stick by people. You really have. It's all well and good, you know, in this day and age, you will sack the coach, sack this, sack that, sack the other. You know, you've got to have some loyalty. You've got to have some belief, and I've got that in James, and he's got my full backing.
And why not? To be fair, the first two games of the season, won them both, and then when we then went on to lose the next two, I heard people calling for his head and I thought, wait a second, that's 50-50 at the start of the season. I'd probably have taken that, actually. Two wins and two defeats in four games.
Yeah, and I think if you look at that, Phil, as well, you know, the Saints game at home, I thought the better side lost on the night, you know, with a few things didn't go our way that night. In particular, the Jordan Turner try, which was given by the video ref. And then in the week after that, we get an apology saying, yes, he was offside and it shouldn't have been given. I don't actually feel we've had much luck of the bounce of the ball yet, and I think these things go in cycles. I firmly believe at some point in the future we'll get a break that we didn't deserve, and it'll turn in our favour. So, yeah, it's not easy when you're getting battered at Warrington by 80 points, or you've gone to Wigan and lost by 50 points. But having said that, you know, we went to Leeds on Easter Monday, lost the game, I think it was 48-22 in the end, and just look what Leeds have done to St Helens last night. You know, a very similar scoreline, and yet we're up in arms because we've gone to Leeds and done that with a decimated squad, and yet Leeds have done exactly the same to St Helens. So, you know, I think you've got to take these things into context. If we can get, you know, the vast majority of our 1-17 playing week in, week out, I think we've got a competitive side.
Definitely. Now, one of the teams from the grand final, you mentioned there, St Helens got battered by Leeds last night. Can the other grand finalists from last year get battered on Thursday night?
Well, I'm not sure about battered. I think what we look for is, A, we've got to be competitive. B, we've got to show pride. C, we've got to show passion in the shirt. You know, Wigan are an excellent side. And I watched them on Thursday night against Warrington. And I thought they were outstanding. And, you know, in particular, some really sort of young lads in their back line, in particular Anthony Gelling, who I think has been excellent all year. And it's funny how these things go, because I know this time last year, Anthony Gelling couldn't actually get into the Wigan side. And we were very, very close to getting him on loan. And it was only an injury to another player in the Wigan side that got him back in there. And look at the, you know, look at the rugby he's played since then. So it's very fine margins. I hope next Thursday we can turn up, we get a decent crowd down at Bellevue, they all back the lads play with the pride and passion that I know they've got, and we give them a real good go. And if we lose the game, so be it. But if we've lost the game, giving it a real good go, I think that's all that people can ask.
Definitely. Now, you mentioned a big crowd there. Last thing I'll talk about, really, but someone mentioned the crowd last night on Twitter. You've mentioned the crowd there. It is the matchday crowds, the attendances, that drives the financials of the club, doesn't it? So give us an idea. If people come down on a matchday, it's not a fortune to go and watch Super League. It's not going to see Chelsea in the Premier League. You know, the ticket prices are sensible, and I think that's being slightly unkind. I think it's actually quite cheap. What difference would it make to have an extra 1,000 on the gate at every home game?
Well, an extra 1,000 would generate a substantial amount of money, Phil. I mean, the figure I've got in my mind is, if we can increase our match day average by 2,000, which is the figure I've worked on, I've said this all the way along, we could then pay in salaries the full salary cap. So, you know, at the minute we're spending around about 1.5 million on our first team squad. If we were to get 2,000 more fans to every game, we could spend the full lot, 1.8 million. That's the kind of influence that it can have on our first team squad. At the minute, I think the next lowest team spend is probably around about 1.7. So we're £200,000 behind every other Super League club as things stand at this moment in time. That... 2,000 extra people would allow us to join the rest of the Super League clubs.
Wow, that's some stat, is that, isn't it? That is something, and that would put the club really on a proper level playing field, wouldn't it?
Well, it's massive. You know, I think if you talk in terms of an extra £200,000 or £300,000 spend on your first team squad, on average, you're then looking at an extra sort of 4 to 5 players within that of Super League quality. And that's when you can manage to start coping with injuries. You know, instead of relying on sort of 22, 23 players, you then got 26, 27 in your squad. And it increases the competition then on the person that's got the shirt. So, you know, it really starts to snowball. But that's, you know, that's the drum I've been banging sort of for the last 6 months, is that if we could just get our average up to around about 6,300, you know, we could spend the full cap. And I think that's where the challenge lies for not only me as custodian of the club, but the people of Wakefield. You know, we have to decide, do we want a Super League club, or are we happy to just be also-rans, spending less than everybody else? You know, because I don't want to rely on a sugar daddy coming in. I think it's a very dangerous policy that somebody comes in with a load of money, throws it at the club, and can quite easily get bored at the same time. And if he gets bored and walks away, where does that leave the club? The club has got to be sustainable for the future, because, excuse me, the last thing we want is for this club to disappear. It's got a massive, massive heritage. You know, we still have the world record points holder as, you know, the figurehead of our club in Neil Fox. And I don't think anybody would ever take that, will be able to take that away from us. You know, Wakefield Trinity is a massive name in rugby league, and we need to get this club back to the heights that it had in the 60s.
I don't think you're wrong at all. And do you know what? Bellevue, as a ground, when it's packed with those fans in there, for away teams, it's pretty much the most intimidating place in rugby league, wherever you may want to go. But the fans need to go. They can start that on Thursday night. Wakefield play host to the Wigan Warriors. We've got the game live here on Radio Yorkshire, but there is nothing quite like seeing it yourself down there at Bellevue. That's Thursday night, Wakefield taking on Wigan. Michael, thank you very much for your time today. We do appreciate it.
No problem, Phil, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
And you too as well. Thanks very much. Cheers. Michael Carter there, the Wakefield Trinity Wildcats chairman, talking about his team's win last night in the Challenge Cup.